listening to Faith and Family. I'm Eddie Bates. Joining me by phone today, the Reverend Kirk Neugebauer, pastor at Messiah Lutheran Church in Sterling, Illinois, and author of Does Hollywood Get Angels Right? An article in the Lutheran Witness this month. Pastor Neugebauer, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a great opportunity to share with us, to share with our listeners a little bit about your new call as a new pastor. This is your first call and new in the Office of Holy Ministry. Tell us about your service at Messiah Lutheran Church in Sterling, Illinois.
Sure. Well, as you said, this is fresh out of the gate, first call to Sterling, Illinois, and it's a wonderful church family. Messiah has welcomed us with open arms, and we've had a lot of new beginnings with entering into pastoral ministry. And of course, my wife and I had our first son, started a family, and we're just kind of learning and growing together as a congregation, and certainly as a pastor. And there's a lot of wonderful things going on with our congregation. They certainly love the Lord and love to grow in their faith, and I'm just doing the best I can to take everything I've learned from the seminary and share it in a faithful way to them.
Now, where would we find Sterling, Illinois, for those of us not familiar with Illinois geography?
Sure. Well, to be honest, I had to look it up too when I heard where our call was. But we are about an hour and 40 minutes west of Chicago, and about an hour east of the border of Iowa. So Northern Illinois District, kind of upwards in the state, and we're kind of placed right in the center there, and not too close to any big city, but close enough where you could get anywhere in a short drive. So it's kind of centrally located, which is nice.
Well, very good, and glad that you've been welcomed with open arms to the saints there at Messiah Lutheran Church in Sterling. Now, this time of year, we start getting all those decorations out, preparing for Christmas. Some might be putting up Christmas decorations. Some may already have some up. One of those decorations, perhaps on top of the tree or in other places, we see depictions of angels in our decorations. But even in other places as well, in TV and in film, we see this. And so you pose the question, does Hollywood get angels right in this month's issue of the Lutheran Witness? I can think back to some TV series and a lot of movies that have depicted angels. Are there any that really stand out for you? I know we'll get to It's a Wonderful Life here in a little bit. Are there other films or TV shows that have stood out for you that depict angels that have made you ask questions?
Angels in the Outfield was a movie that came out when I was in elementary school, and it's one of the first movies I saw in the movie theater. And there was a time where there was a really popular genre of a movie where it was based on a really, really bad sports team that somehow, some way came together and found a way to become great and win a championship in whatever sport that happened to be. Of course, in Angels in the Outfield, the circumstances were a little different because it wasn't hard work and, a new teammate or anything like that that caused this poor team to turn around. It was the fact that Christopher Lloyd brought down angels to answer the prayers of a young boy. And of course, all these shenanigans take place and in a bunch of very strange and unusual ways, the angels affect the outcome of all of these games. And it's a really fun movie, but it's also kind of heart-wrenching when I think back on the subject. And I'm kind of ashamed to admit this, but I do believe that was the first movie that ever made me physically cry, and I remember getting a hard time from my brothers because of that, because it was a very emotional roller coaster. But of course, it also had this really great interplay between the natural meeting the supernatural, and of course, that I think a lot of people are fascinated with movies that include angels because people are drawn to that kind of interaction, because it's certainly not something that we're used to seeing in everyday life.
I remember, I guess it was back in the 90s or early 2000s, Touched by an Angel was a TV series where there was always, every episode, there was an angel who was doing some sort of basically charity work or social work, you know, making sure that, that someone's taken care of or that someone is, you know, getting what they need or learning a lesson or something like that along the way. And always wondering how close is this to what angels really are? What do the scriptures say about angels? And you, so you posed that question this month in the Lutheran Witness. Does Hollywood get it right? Do they get angels right?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I think Touched by an Angel is a perfect example of this, and I'm glad you brought it up, is that a lot of people come into the idea where angels are kind of there to support us and help us out in difficult situations for big things like tragedy that comes into our lives and even things as small as, you know, helping your team win a ball game. But scripture, while it certainly speaks to angels aiding humans in a lot of different and various ways, that's not really their primary purpose. The first and foremost, and they do a lot of things, but what we find in scripture, the main thing that they are called to do and the main thing, the main way in which they serve is not to serve humans, but instead they serve God. And they serve God first and foremost by bringing his messages and his plan and delivering the good news of what he has done and will do to us. And so they're not really there to kind of help us in, you know, our certain life circumstances as much as they are to point us to what God is doing.
Hmm. So what about how angels are depicted in film, like in terms of their appearance and their abilities?
Sure. Well, in I think we all have in our minds the typical picture of what an angel looks like, right? I mean, we see it, of course, on top of the Christmas tree. We see it in our Christmas programs. It's the white robes and the halos and the shining light. And what we find in Scripture is that while certainly there are times where angels sort of have this kind of human look to them, in a lot of cases, they don't really look like humans at all. I mentioned in the article that in the book of Daniel, the angel is described with a face like lightning and eyes like torches and arms and legs that are like bronze. And you can imagine that'd be probably pretty hard to make a costume like that for your children's Christmas program. But it certainly does not fit the typical way in which we think of angels. And I mean, if you look at the appearances of angels in Scripture, you know, it's not as if like a butterfly comes and flies down and lands on your shoulder and you go, oh, well, that's beautiful. Look at that. That's really a wonderful thing. And you take a moment to appreciate it. It's actually kind of terrifying, which is why whether appearing to Zechariah to announce the birth of John the Baptist or Mary and Joseph to announce the birth of Jesus or the shepherds to deliver the same message, even the women at the tomb during Easter, the initial reaction to meeting an angel is actually to tremble with fear. And so when you read in Scripture, when angels appear, I think it's kind of telling that almost every time the first thing that they all say is, hey, don't be afraid. You don't have to be scared. I'm here to deliver a message and tell you the good news of what God is doing.
Right. That's pretty indicative of something that we don't experience every day. When an angel appears and says, do not be afraid, that begs the question, why would they be afraid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if I were face to face with, let's say, the seraphim from Isaiah's vision, a six-winged angel that fills up the room and has this kind of almost terrifying description where, of course, Isaiah is also afraid, I don't think my first reaction would be a peaceful kind of appreciation. It would be to be afraid for my life. And I think that's the reaction that the people that we encounter in Scripture have as well.
So your first reaction wouldn't be, oh, I should create a sculpture of this to make a Christmas ornament out of it or a or depicted in a play or a movie.
Right, or a way to sell lots of gifts during Christmas time at the mall. No, probably none of those would be the first reaction when we encountered something as magnificent and powerful as an angel of the Lord.
Let's go back to then, what is the work of angels? We know that, as we see, nearly every time that they appear in Scripture, that they say, "Do not be afraid." What is their work? What is their mission? What are they given to do?
Sure. Well, as I've mentioned before, oftentimes they will bring God's message to us. So, of course, announcing the births, as I mentioned, showing up to tell the shepherds that they should go and meet the Savior and the King who has come to the earth, and appearing in all sorts of various ways to give good news, that's certainly one of the things that they do. But they also provide for the needs of people as well. In Scripture, of course, angels attend to Elijah when he's fleeing Jezebel, who wants to kill him. And he's pretty much given up, but an angel comes to him and he feeds him and encourages him. In Matthew, angels come to minister to Jesus after the battle with Satan in the desert while he was tempted. And of course, angels appear to open the prison doors in Acts for the apostles who were imprisoned. So they provide for our needs. They also encourage us and protect us from harm. And that's something that I guess is a little closer to some of the depictions of what angels do. We find in Acts that angels appear to Paul and they tell him that he and the crew of the ship that's sailing to Rome are going to be all right. And I mean, we even find in Luther's morning prayer at the very end, what do we say? We say, "Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me." So, of course, they do protect us, and we have this idea of angels guarding over us, and that might not be quite as far off as some of the other things that we believe about angels in movies and popular culture.
What are some other misconceptions about angels that are often depicted in movies and in the rest of pop culture?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you the one that I get the most. While I was on vicarage in Wentzville, Missouri, I was able to assist in a Bible study that we did on angels. And of course, the thing that I think was the hardest for people to kind of wrap their heads around, and it just shows how ingrained this is in our culture and even in our church, is that angels are not made of human creatures who have died and their earthly life has ended. And now they somehow get this, I don't know if you would call it a promotion to angel once they leave their earthly life. And even as we tried to show people places in Scripture where this is made abundantly clear that the goal for humanity and the goal of what Christ was trying to do when he came to earth, when he died and when he rose again, was not so that we could become angels one day. People came up and had a lot of concerns and a lot of questions because they had so long been taught and told and seen in various references and books and art and movies that their loved ones were watching them as angels and were doing the kind of things that angels do on TV, things like helping them win a sports game. And we certainly see athletes, there's no shortage of athletes who claim that their loved ones are helping them and supporting them in the same way that we see angels helping that team in that children's movie I saw so long ago.
Hmm. And we there's in other confessions we see this when this practice of praying to saints, in a sense that this concept that those loved ones are now in heaven, and so there's this kind of in-between idea, you know, that they're not angels, but they're saints now in heaven, and that we pray to them and they help us out too.
That's right. And a lot of those things have found their way into our people's beliefs, and it kind of comes along with a lot of questions that people have about what does happen. And the thing that I appreciate about you know, what the Lutheran witness is trying to do in this particular issue. You know, I don't think the goal is to break down people's ideas of, you know, where their loved ones are and what they're experiencing once their earthly life has ended. I think the point is to show them that what is truly taking place, and this is what Advent is all about, what we're truly waiting for, is so much better. The truth of what Christ is going to do on the last day is better to me in my mind than the idea of going to this interim state and staying there forever and or even becoming an angel. Because, you know, the loved ones that I miss, I miss them as they were. I miss them as the people that I knew and the people that I loved and the people that I spent time with. And the good news of what Jesus promises is, you know, the idea is restoration. The idea is new creation. The idea is resurrection and bodily resurrection. And so those people who have passed on, the saints who have gone before us, are now waiting just like us for Christ to return and to make all things new. And I think that's a hopeful message. I think that's a better message. And of course, we find the angels deferring all the time away from worshiping or bowing to them or thinking that the messenger is the message. Instead, they point us to the message. They point us to what Christ is doing. And of course, that's when an angel is really doing their job, is when they're pointing us to something greater.
So as you decorate for Christmas, are you going to have to alter some of those decorations?
You know, I don't think I'll get rid of all the angels. I certainly have an appreciation for the place that they play and certainly the birth narrative of Christ. So I don't want to draw too hard of a line. And of course, you know, we do appreciate the work that God's messengers do. And we do recognize that they do help us and they encourage us and they protect us. And of course, we'll help administer God's final judgment and we'll help God by serving his purposes and bringing salvation to the people whom he loves. So you know what? I wouldn't tell you to put all your angels in the closet and never take them out again.
But of course, like all
gifts that we receive, they're serving a purpose, and that's to point us to Christ. So let's just make sure to keep the main thing in Christmas, the main thing.
So I don't have to go and add four more wings to all of the angel decorations.
Yeah, I've just been trying to think of the poor young elementary school student whose parents decide to try to make it a seraphim angel out of their children's Christmas costume and the look they'll probably get. Yeah.
That might be quite difficult. Well, as we sit down and watch films, as we watch movies, as we, you know, as pop culture and mass media are around us all the time, especially as families with children, your advice on how we discuss this, you know, what's important to keep the forefront especially when watching films and TV shows with children that depict angels or messengers of God?
Right. Well, I think like all parents, there are times where you have to discern between things that are stories and things that are, you know, fall into the realm of fable and mythology, and the things that fall into the realm of truth. And while I certainly don't think we need to completely hide from all of the depictions of angels in movies and things like that, I think the best way that we can make sure that our children can discern what's something that's kind of a pop culture idea and versus what's something in scripture is to be sure that we're in the Word, and that, you know, there are lots of really great publications that come through that teach us about the truth of angels and what they do, and God's Word is pretty clear on what angels do, and as long as we're staying faithful and we're telling kids these stories and we're making sure that they realize that these things aren't just a movie that is supposed to create this emotional reaction, much like the Angels in the Outfield movie created for me, but they're intended to change our lives. They're intended to change everything, because what Christ did and what the angels are announcing to us about what he did, it does change everything. So, of course, you know, when we speak the truth and when we're telling people about what Scripture really says about angels, of course, you know, we're not there to break them down and to tell them all of this news about where they've been misled and how what they believe isn't true. We of course, speak the truth in love, and we try to be tactful, and we try to be caring. And, of course, like I said earlier, what we're offering them is something that I think is actually more hopeful. I think it's better news than the news that typical angels that we see in the movies would ever deliver to us.
All pointing to Christ, who is our Redeemer. Yeah. Well, thank you, Pastor Neugebauer, for being my guest and for answering this question about angels. Does Hollywood get angels right? It's an article in the December 2016 Lutheran Witness. Check it out. Lots of great articles in there, particularly about Christmas and the seasons Advent, Christmas, and looking forward to Epiphany as well. Pastor Neugebauer is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Sterling, Illinois. Thank you for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
Thank you, Andy. It's been a pleasure.